Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good night, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. I am one of the co-hosts, Dino Ray Ramos, and on this week's episode, brace yourself, we have the lovely Wumi Misaku, who stars in Loki on Disney Plus. And if you haven't been watching Loki on Disney Plus, it's gonna change the whole dynamic of the MCU. Not that like WandaVision hasn't already, or even Falcon and Winter Soldier, but things are changing, and I really do think Loki is gonna introduce us to a whole kind of time traveling extravaganza. Anyways, Wumi. Oh, God, we are in love with Wumi. She's wonderful. We say that about all our guests because we don't have non-wonderful people on our podcast. But Wumi has been seen in so many other things. You may remember her from Lovecraft Country. So she has a lot of stuff. She's super talented, and she was a joy to talk to. And she's great in Loki, so make sure you watch her on Disney Plus. Anyways, so without further ado, here is Wumi.
Thank you for joining us today. You've been killing it lately in these various roles. It's been a pleasure watching you. And now you're in the MCU, which is so cool.
Yes.
Loki. So congrats on that. But before we get to more about that show, so we like to get to know our guests a little bit about their background and what sort of brought them into this industry. So for you, you grew up in England, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Manchester.
So what was it like growing up for you, and what inspired you to get in the arts?
I loved the film Annie and I watched that every single night after school religiously. I used to sing in a girls' choir from age 7 to 18, Manchester Girls Choir. Still holds a huge soft spot in my heart. You know, I don't know. I always used to perform. Like, I was terrible at dance, but I was always at the front of the class. And And so I don't know. I thought I was going to do maths and economics because I was good at maths. Yeah. And my parents were both lecturers. And so when I decided to do acting, it was really strange because I had always done it like on the side since like when my mom was like my dad ended up going back to Nigeria, and my mom was on her own with us, and she sent us all to like various like orchestra to dance class and to drama class for me on a Saturday just to get us out of the house so she could like clean and, you know, have a moment to herself. And and then I found myself in this acting class called Act Two at the local church down the road. We did a play that was totally inappropriate for our age group about some kids going off to take heroin, a play called Jake. And I got some good feedback. I was playing the like social work or something called, I can't remember the name now, Abby or something. And and the guy who wrote the book was like, you really embodied her. And I was like, really? Wow. I'm just like 13, 14. And he really saw her in me. And I thought, oh, that's cool. But and then like in school I did acting, but you know, I never got the good roles in school. Never, ever, ever. Never got the lead roles. And but I still enjoyed it. I think the only place I felt really comfortable and at ease was the drama studio. I think that was very evident. Like, I started getting panic attacks and insomnia when I was doing my A-levels and GCSEs, and the only place I found peace and solace was in the drama studio. And my teachers were great, Wynn and Rob, and Mr. Wells at Trinity. Like, those guys made me feel good, and so I took the plunge, you know.
So we all, like, I read that you were born in Nigeria, and then you guys came to England later on. I always like to ask, because I'm Nigerian, I'm first generation, my parents were born there, but I grew up in Texas. But, you know, when it comes to entertainment and the arts and drama, it's not too much encouraged for, you know, for this next generation to get into that. Our parents really just want us to do, I say, like, the big four, the doctors, the lawyers, the engineers, and all that. So for you, but it sounds like your mom was supportive of your wanting to pursue acting.
Yeah, I mean, I think at first it was definitely just like, all three of us, me and my sisters, we all did something kind of, like, you know, we were all part of the choir, we all did sports, we all did dance, and we just, you know, some things we were good at, some things we were bad at, and we just continued. And then, like, yeah, my dad wasn't that chuffed when we told him I was going to drama school. But my mom, we only told him when I got in. My mom beforehand, she just said, you know, so my sisters and I, we went through the whole cast of Annie and figured out who was who and what, how they got to who they, how, you know, to be in the film. And we found, you know, Albert Finney, Daddy Warbucks, went to RADA. And so I heard about RADA and I heard about drama school. So then my mom let me apply, and she said, basically, we can only afford to do it once. And so I didn't apply to all the drama schools. I just applied to RADA. And she said, if you get in, great. If you don't get in, then you know you're not good enough. If you don't get in, I promise you can have a year out and do volcanic studies or something I wanted to do. I know, I'm so random. And then, but you have to promise me you'll go to university and do maths and economics if I give you that year out. And thankfully, I got in, because I think we really were of the thinking, like, if you didn't get in the first time, it just meant that you weren't good enough. And we all know that that's not the case in drama school. I was just very lucky that I got in the first time, because that I would have gone off to study some volcanoes and then
imagine that, if you were, like, instead of being an actor, you were just out there doing your volcano thing, you know, that would be exciting. but isn't it, like, it's so funny that you mentioned Annie, just because of the news that was announced earlier today about Taraji P. Henson playing Miss Hannigan in the live version. And, like, it's just so exciting, you know, for just Annie in general, and how Annie is kind of this touchstone for a lot of actors or like when they saw Annie, they're all, oh my god, I want to do that. I mean, I think I even wanted to do it at one point.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to be one of the orphans, you know, just singing It's a Hard Knock Life in the background.
Right.
but, you know, how did you, earlier in your career, how did you navigate, you know, your career, and what kind of roles were you going out for? How was it like in the very beginnings of your acting journey?
I was very, very, I feel very lucky. I graduated RADA 2007, and it was the 200th year of the abolition of slavery. Mm-hmm. So I auditioned straight away for Rough Crossings, and I got that. And I feel like, you know, I was actually the only like dark-skinned black girl who graduated in 2007 out of the top 5 drama schools. So I, again, very, it's one of those kind of, you know, bittersweet things. Like I was literally the only one, but also it meant that, you know, when someone's looking for someone new, I really had, it was very easy for me to have that audition. And then I basically did theatre for the first year. I did a play called The Great Theatre of the World with Bill Gaskell, who taught me at RADA. And I literally went from RADA straight to that and then auditioned for Rough Crossings and did a play at the Royal Court, did a play at the Young Vic. Then it was like I got offered a play kind of really far outside of London or a couple of days filming on The Bill. And The Bill is like one of our, you know, it was one of our like staple soaps. And I was like, I think I need to do some filming. And I'm so glad I did it because it was such a learning experience because they move fast. And it was, you know, it was just different. It was just so different from theatre. And then I don't know, I got this part on Moses Jones, and it was like the female lead, and it was just kind of bizarre, like, because the BBC trusted me really early on in my career. I think 2008 I did that, 2008 2009. And from that moment on, I guess, things kind of continued to be more, you know, more than just 2 days filming on The Bill or like, you know, 1 day filming here. And yeah, so I do feel indebted to the BBC for that because I think it was quite brave of them to trust me.
You kind of answer or went into the next question I was going to ask you about transitioning from stage to TV and film, but going beyond that, how was it like kind of going from stage to film and TV or you know, productions like on TV and film, and even going from the UK to US productions, like how was just that whole journey?
Actually, I want to shout out casting director Suzanne Smith, who basically gave me a 2-hour audition for TV. And that's the only reason why I think I was able to transition from theatre to TV. Mm-hmm. She was like, woman, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. And she kind of, it was like literally 2 hours. And she was like, you're talking too loud. You're doing too much. You're doing this. And I didn't get that job, but I did get the next job, which was, I really do credit her for that. So that transition to from theatre to TV was, it was a lot of learning curves. You know, theatre, you're kind of in charge of everything, your props and everything. And I hear on TV, you know, everyone has a job and, you know, you let costume handle the costume, you let props handle the props. And I was trying so hard to be so friendly and too kind, and I just messed up so badly. I lost items of my costume, which they were like, just give it to me, and I was like, it's fine, I got it. And I dropped it down a drain, like a necklace down a drain. I'd be like, oh god. Or like, oh, I know, I'm making a cup of tea in a scene, and I would throw this tea down the sink after every take and then start again, and all of a sudden the cupboard underneath me gushes out all this tea because it was a set, it wasn't actually a sink,
it was a fake sink.
So I had a lot of learning lessons like that on Moses Jones. A lot. I felt so bad for that team because I thought I was being really helpful, and I learned very quickly on that, let people do their jobs, you just act and, you know, leave it be. So that was a big transition. And I would come in on my days off on Moses Jones and I would be a runner, which you guys call PAs. And I would watch how everything worked and ask a billion questions, especially that eyelines. That was something that really threw me. And then I would basically do like a play a year. And I haven't done a play since 2014. So I do feel a little bit out of sync with that. But it is a transition. It is different. And like, you know, I remember when I was doing Mr. Burns, like, they're like, we're not on TV anymore, Wumi. Like, the people at the back need to see and hear you and feel you. So it's a little like balancing act between the two mediums. And then coming to the States, again, it, you know, it feels kind of normal to the UK, just a little bit bigger, a little bit shinier, a little bit, you know, you know, the terminology is a little different. Like, we say turning and you guys say rolling. You know, calling for checks and here they call it last look. So it was just a little bit of like learning lingo. And but then also like the budgets are a little higher here. So there was a bit more time and a bit more like, oh, you get your costume made for you. Wow, great. catering, amazing. Craft services, wow. All we get is tea and biscuits, and biscuits are done by 11 a.m. so yeah, I don't feel like the medium change between TV and TV there and TV here. But I do think like just things kind of were a little bigger and a little like your trailer's a little bit bigger, you know, but you kind of expect that for America. Everything's a little bit bigger, a little bit shinier.
And now that you've sort of, you made this transition, we've seen you in so many great, notable, critically acclaimed projects. But a lot of them are really genre driven projects, like Batman vs. Superman, Fantastic Beasts, His House, Lovecraft Country, and now Loki. So what about this genre, the sci-fi, fantasy, horror? What about this sort of medium appeals to you as an actor?
You know, I think what was so... I'm not someone who like watches horror. I'm not someone who, you know, I only got into Marvel because of Black Panther. Like, I started very, very... you know, early on, late on, like in 2018, you know, and I still jump, and I haven't seen any of the classic horror films or scary films or thrillers. I guess the thing that just reading those scripts were just like, I felt moved. I felt like it was truthful, and I felt like the horror was like a mirror of the horrors of humanity. And so it didn't feel like doing a horror as in like, I just want to scare you for scaring you's sake. It felt like beautiful stories, rich, deep layered stories. Like reading Lovecraft Country, I'm thinking, what a great family drama. Oh shoot, there's a Shoggoth. Like, wasn't expecting what does that mean? But the family drama was so rich. It was so, I was hooked. Like, you know, the scene between me and Journey in the first episode, you learn so much about sisters. Like, they haven't been together. They used to perform together. They have this shorthand where they kind of hate each other, love each other very quickly in the space of like seconds. She didn't come to her mother's funeral. She paid for her mother's funeral. I mean, all this stuff happens in such a small, like, you know, two-page scene. And you have the joy of them performing together, and you have like the animosity of the sisterly rivalry, and you have the pain of the mother's death and another brother somewhere else. And you think, wow, that's all in two pages. I am blown away by the craftsmanship of Misha's writing. And so the horror is something that just intrigues me more, but it was really the relationships and the dynamics that made me go, I need to see more. I really want to be a part of this.
So along those lines, so you mentioned, you know, being sort of late to the game when it came to the Marvel properties, but I'm sure you are aware of like the scope of this franchise and and all that. So when this project, when Loki came across to you, what were your initial thoughts about this, about joining this?
Well, I didn't know I was auditioning for Loki.
True to Marvel. They like secrets.
They love a good secret. Yeah, so I had no idea I had sent in an audition for Loki. I knew I sent in something for something top secret weeks and weeks before. And I got a phone call a couple of months later saying you got offered a job on Loki. And when did I audition for Loki? But I'm down. And I think I just, from the moment I watched Black Panther, I was so, I don't know, like, I was just quite shocked. I had no idea that these kind of huge themes and ideas and questions and tumult within the African diaspora were being explored in the superhero world. I had no clue that Marvel would be so bold and do it so well, because, you know, I just felt completely like understood and excited and seen. And so from that moment, I wanted to be a part of the MCU. And so when I got the call saying it was Loki, I was like, yeah, sure, what? I don't know what she's doing. I don't know who she is, but yeah, sure, fine. I'm in now.
Amanda wasn't able to watch the first episode, but I was. Oh my god, you're a badass in this, and it just seems so fun because of like what, based on the first episode, what this series is going to do to the whole MCU. Basically, I forgot the official name of the organization again, but you know, a time cop, yes. I guess.
Time Vengeance Authority.
Yes. And then you're with this amazing cast. Like this cast, you know, there's Gugu there, of course, Tom Hiddleston and Owen. But you know, from what we see in the first one, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to unpack, because I feel it in my bones that the MCU is going to change just because of this series. Also, like the series in general, because they teased it in WandaVision, and now what they're going to, because it's bonkers. Let's just be honest, it's bonkers fun. But what can you tell us? I know Marvel likes to keep secrets, but what can you tell us what to expect, like broad strokes, from this series, but also specifically your character? And if your character is going to be in the new Black Panther movie, sure, why not? Let's put that out there too.
What to expect? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the TVA is a whole new world. It's a whole new entity that's just never been seen in the MCU before. And so it's like a whole thing, a whole world opens up, and new possibilities open up. And so, yeah, I don't really know what else to say other than like, it's, you've never been here before and you've never seen it before. Mm-hmm. So I hope that people love it and like their mind is
well, like the early social media reactions are amazing, of course, but I'm like really trying to get a secret out of you, but I don't want to get a secret out of you.
What can you tell us about your character? Is this a new character to the, I'm not like a deep.
Well, the time, the TVA isn't new. That's in the comics, but I don't know, Wumi, is your character actually a character in the comics, or is it just like created?
Completely new. Fresh art. No one can compare me to anyone in a comic or or anything. Hunter B15, she's a brand new character, and that is so, like, that took a whole weight off my shoulder when they said, you know how it is when people have an, I do it with books or like, I don't know, it's something that I really love and I want, and I have an idea of who or should play it. And then you know, everyone has an opinion. And right. So at least with this, I have no pressure whatsoever. So yeah, Hunter B15, she's kind of a high up hunter for the TVA. And basically her job is to, so there's the sacred timeline, which is time and space as we know it and in the MCU. And so, everything runs according to that sacred timeline. And if something goes off that shouldn't happen, then we, the TVA, come in and swoop in and, you know, sort some naughty people out, basically.
Yeah.
So if you see me, you're a problem, basically. So, pardon?
What does the TVA stand for again?
Time Variance Authority.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like from the jump, like I'm not spoiling anything because if you've seen Endgame, because it kind of, I just knew that in Endgame when we saw that moment when Loki took the Tesseract and like disappeared, I was like, oh, that's gonna be something. And
yeah.
and then this series, no spoilers, of course, this starts with that scene. And then Wumi, you come in and lay down the law.
Lay down all the law. Like, Loki, you're in trouble.
Well, was there anything, you know, about doing Loki that surprised you in terms of like what this series was doing, just or even in general about the MCU? You mentioned, you know, like Black Panther kind of was exploring the Black diaspora, but also was there something that, because like a lot of people see the MCU as like, oh, it's fun, whatever, but there are a lot of layered meanings and nuance.
Yeah, they've been doing that more so lately, right? Yeah.
It's like with WandaVision, we saw this whole thing about the grieving process, and I didn't expect that. But with Loki, was there something that you learned or that you think will surprise people in terms of its storytelling?
You know, I think the theme in the show is like, who is good and who is bad, and can you be wholly good, wholly bad, and also free will and destiny, like predestined. I think these are huge, like these are just huge concepts just generally, like, and I think this show really explores that. I think it really explores that. Free will, that comes up a lot in my, like, that I think about. I'm like, yeah, it's really hard because it actually has this kind of religious kind of like, you know, aspect to it. And it's very rich.
It is. And I think there's just one part, again, not spoiling any, this isn't a spoiler, but there's this fun part between you and Loki where he has this kind of instrument that it controls, I guess, I don't know what it was called, I forgot, where it controls people's time or something like that, but like he kept on messing with it and you kept on disappearing and reappearing, and I thought that was just a funny thing. I forgot what that was called though, but that's just me saying something random, sorry, that there was no point to that, it was just me saying that out loud.
Get nervous with like time traveling or shows that deal with like time travel or time. I mean, are we going to be able to? Is this going to be one of those things where like, kind of like a Tenet or a? Or
oh my god, Tenet felt like homework. I'm sorry, no shade.
Because I always like, I get confused sometimes. Like, wait, because even the things that you're mentioning, I'm like, oh, like you're trying to piece it together, and I'm like, I'm kind of like lost.
I personally think that what Marvel is doing with the timeline, with Endgame and what they did there, they set it all up to make it as clear as possible. I mean, time travel is going to be, until it's invented in real life, is just going to be interesting. And I do like what they call the sacred timeline and how like that's the standard. And if you veer off from that standard, you're in trouble. And I think that's kind of pretty much the bottom line of the series and the what the TVA does. And Loki is that variant. And every time I hear variant, I'm a little bit triggered because of the COVID variants, but that's another story. Oh.
That's so funny. I hadn't actually thought that.
what's next for you? I know there is a movie that you were announced to be part of, that the Call Jane movie that has an amazing cast. Elizabeth Banks. That sounds like it's going to be a good one. But is there anything else that you can talk about that you're excited about?
There's nothing else I can talk about.
My gosh, come on.
Honestly, I don't know how it all works, but I just know as long as there's not been a press release,
we don't want to get you in trouble. We don't want to get you in trouble, but we want your secrets at the same time. So I don't know how.
But is there anything like genre wise, maybe even writing, directing, or anything that you want to do that you haven't done that you're sort of itching to do one day?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the idea of doing a romantic comedy. I loved The Photograph last year, and I just thought, I have not seen someone who, I have not seen this. I've not seen someone who looks like me and my husband doing this thing called life in a romantic comedy. I've not seen that. I hadn't. To be honest, I feel like with Issa, I feel like a lot of the things that she's done, it's like, I've never seen this before. I've never seen like a Black lady sketch show before. I've never seen, I've never seen anything like Insecure, you know? Yeah, especially, hey, like we are thirsty over there, like thirsty. Mm. You know, thank God for Michaela Cole.
Oh my God. Congrats to her too. Shout out for the BAFTA.
Yeah, absolutely. She is an absolute game changer.
We'll make some calls, Wumi, and we'll get you on a Black lady sketch show. So don't worry about that.
I did do that.
What's that?
I did actually do that. Was on this.
Do I not remember? Oh my God, I'm a horrible journalist that I don't remember.
No worries.
Wait, which sketch were you in?
The one with Messica, the girls going on holiday, and there's like one group, and then there's another group that's like, yeah.
I remember now.
You know what I really loved about playing Hunter B15 was the physical aspect of it, like doing all the training and stuff, and I box and I really love boxing, and I would love to do, I've never really been able to until this show really explore my physical like power and strength, and I'm like, maybe I would like to do like a boxing movie or something.
Do a lot of your own stunts?
Yes, up until the pandemic. Okay. I did all of my stunts, and then after the pandemic, kind of were a little bit separated, and the things I hadn't learned yet, it was basically we had to switch out because of like you can't mix group basically. But up until what you see in episode one, I did myself.
Well, it was also you also had like very a physical role in Lovecraft as well, so that was kind of exciting, and carrying that over here. Was your outfit a little bit binding, because it seems a little bit
I did not enjoy wearing that.
Because it looks like a SWAT team outfit, and you have to do a lot.
Yeah, it was really hot. It was really hot and like uncomfortable and stiff, and like you would knock things because you're just a little bit bigger, a little bit wider, a little. I couldn't see my marks because of my breast shield, and it was quite physical. It definitely was, but it and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Funny, because like after coming off Lovecraft, you think, I don't want to wear heels, I don't want anything to be sticky and icky, I don't want to have to wear like pantyhose in Atlanta heat. Yeah. And then you think you're going to be in something a little bit more comfortable, and it's actually like, give me the dress, give me the heels, because that stuff was thick, it was heavy. like button a shirt buttoned up to the top with a tie. Oh, too much.
I feel you. I feel your pain. Okay, so we like to wrap up the interview with this segment we call the facts or the FAQs. Just fun random questions to end it. This was a great conversation, by the way. So your first question is, what is the funniest, craziest, or weirdest thing that you have bought on the internet?
Ooh.
Are you a big internet shopper? Well,
I am the worst. I am the worst. I literally am the worst. I mean, there will be, so I think you should ask my husband this. I want to talk, I mean, I would say like a jam making kit. I literally never made jam in my life. I still haven't. Jam making kit, maybe. I mean, so much. A turkey injector. I don't know.
Wow. So are you kind of like one of those really as seen on TV people? Like you like those kind of those kind of gadgets and stuff?
Oh, I want every piece of equipment. Like, you know, I'm about to do DIY on our house and I'm literally like, I want to get like everything. I want to buy a jigsaw. I want to buy anything, everything. And everyone's like, don't do it yet. Like, don't do it. Do it when you're about to do the project. Yeah, no, I'm really bad. You can tell when I'm arriving because all the boxes start to arrive, like at my mom's house, at my, you know, my mother-in-law's house. It's like, mommy's coming home.
Well, you haven't made jam yet though, with your jam kit?
I mean, I haven't made jam. I got a gin making kit. I still haven't made gin. I mean, I've got sourdough rotting in the fridge right now because I forgot to freeze it. I'm a trinkets kind of. I like to do things. I like the challenge of, like, you know, instead of buying a quilt, I want to make a quilt. Instead of, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's me. There's certain kind of challenges that you want to kind of do and
yeah.
Like I've never done that before. Let me do that. So cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So Wilmeen, what is your opinion about putting pineapple on pizza?
Terrible idea.
Thank you. Oh my.
Thank goodness. You. That's a correct answer.
I felt like I was the only one. Like it was like, I had
so wrong.
I'm like, do not. Pineapples on this pizza.
And I think I just wonder, because a lot of people like call it Hawaiian style or whatever, but I was like, I'm pretty sure Hawaiians did not make that up.
They don't need that. Come on, they have better sense than that. Nuh-uh.
Okay, that's the correct answer. Yeah, thank you for validating our opinions as well.
Yeah, right. Okay. What scene in a movie always gives you goosebumps every time you watch it?
Oh. You know, outside of Annie, the first song in Annie, obviously. But there was a scene in, what's this film with Anjanou Ellis about the sisters singing group. What was that called? Park Sisters. There was a scene in that and, I don't know. She's just amazing. To be honest, I will tell you, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not a scene in a movie. It was watching Anjanou Ellis in the read through of episode 7 of I Am in Lovecraft Country. That whole episode was just the read through. It was magical. Magical.
That episode in general was just like, I was gagged and gooped. I was all the audacity. They gobsmacked me. But okay. The next question is, since you are in Loki, let's talk about this. Let's unpack it. Do you think Loki is misunderstood?
No.
He's pretty.
I mean, I feel like you understand him. Like, he's obviously, you know, troubled. He's had a complicated existence and he has made his choices.
But because of moments, though, do you think?
Oh, he definitely has vulnerable moments. He's not misunderstood in this because I can see it. I've seen it. I see his vulnerability and I see his like cunningness and mischievousness, mischievousness. And his cruelty. I completely understand him. He is like, he's someone that I understand his motive, but I don't like it. But I think it's him. I think it's totally him.
I think he is just such an interesting character because he's not your, people are calling him an anti-hero, but I really don't think, I think he's still a villain, but he's not like a Thanos villain because Thanos just like, hates everyone.
He has moments where he, you know, helps out the good guys and, you know, sort of fights on his brother's side, so.
But he's also screwed over his brother plenty of times, so.
And his mother. Basically, he's the reason why his mother.
He killed his mom, basically.
Right. I mean, he's not misunderstood. I think we know exactly who he is.
Soft spot for him.
Yeah. And also Thomas, you know, he's cute. So let's just. How could you be mad at a face like that?
Okay, so next question. What would you rather throw away, love or money?
Money.
That's easy, yeah. I would.
It's love for me because I'm trash.
Oh, I love it. Oh, no.
I thought this would require more thought, but yeah, it is. For me, I'm just like, oh, yeah, love. Give me the money.
I mean, that age old saying, money doesn't make you happy. I think that is really true. Like,
I'm a firm
believer. There's only like a certain amount after you get past, I don't know. I think it's different in the UK to America because America is very expensive.
Yeah.
But I think capitalism. I think in the UK, they say if you earn, there's no difference between your happiness after like £60,000. I think it's something like that. It's not like a crazy, it's like you can go on holiday, you don't have to worry about your mortgage, your kid. Well, you know, it's different in America, in England, because you've got free healthcare and free education up until.
Oh my God, so lucky.
Yeah.
I always say to my husband, I love you more than free healthcare.
I mean, come on, I'm going through a whole healthcare kind of transition right now. And just doing that in the United States is a headache. And I've called, sorry, Kaiser, I called you out on Twitter a lot. So there you go. but that's true. But see, you know, yeah, look, money can't buy love and all that. But you know what? I'd like to try. So send the money and I'll test it out. We'll see how it works. okay. Wilmy, our last question, we ask this to all of our guests. Is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, writer, producer, or any creator that is not in the mainstream or this kind of flies under the radar that you think people need to know about and deserves more shine from Hollywood?
Oh, okay. So, I didn't understand. And that meaning underrepresented. I want to shout Ivano Jeremiah. I think he's such a talented, he does great work and he works, but I want to see more of him. Like, I want to see so much more of him. I would say Ivano Jeremiah. I really do admire his work and his spirit.
What is he? Yeah. But I'm sorry, I think I missed. What did you say he does?
He's an actor. So he's doing a play at the moment, Constellations at I think it's on the Royal Court. But he's just brilliant, like, and just such a sweet, sweet man. I'm gonna shout him out.
Cool.
Thank you so much for joining us again today.
Yes.
Thank you.
Girl, you are killing it and I love to see it. So
yeah, we love to, and in like his house, come on.
Congrats. You deserve all the awards. Like, you're doing amazing.
And hopefully after Loki, we may see you kind of throw down the law in future Marvel properties, you know?
You know, from your ear to Marvel, from your mouth to Marvel's ears, please.
Because like now that they established the TVA, I think they're going to have to police a lot. And I look at, I have an idea of what the MCU is doing, but I'm not going to say it out loud. But I just think the TVA is going to play a major role in the future of what the MCU is.
Yeah.
Cool.
That would be
okay. Well, thank you again, Moonmi, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.